There we go. Now, what am I doing? Book.
Your book behind you.
I'll choke myself on this cord.
Don't do that. That's not what I signed up for today.
Well, somebody trashed our original cable, so I had to go hunting around for a substitute. Fortunately, there was one in the box. I couldn't find any other one. I must have packed that a long time ago. Anyway.
Anyway, it worked out. We're okay.
How's the daughter coming? How's Margot and your daughter coming along?
She's doing really, really well.
Okay.
She had a biopsy at the beginning of the week, and there was no sign of rejection or infection.
So fantastic. I'm so thrilled.
Thank you, Paula.
She's in my prayers daily, truly.
And I appreciate that as well. Let's see, where are we? Is that about the right time, Margo?
Yeah.
The clock.
Yeah, about the right time.
6:58. Oh, well, at my time.
Okay. Oh, everybody's signing up. Thank you. Oh, hi, Colleen. Haven't seen you in a while. I know you've been up there. Good to see you. I see your name. Good morning, John. Okay, we're going to give everybody about a minute or so to sign in.
Pardon? My phone says 1 more minute. 1 more minute. Yeah, nobody's in class today. I think John's here. Who? John Russell. Oh, somebody. God, I'm supposed to be here. Hello.
So
You're
soon.
back. Good to see you.
It's great to be.
You're Eric.
Yes.
And this is Laura.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Margo.
Margo.
And this is Don behind Jerry and Don.
Hi,
Good morning.
your name is Jerry.
Yes, you got it.
You speaking there.
Awesome. Wonder what he's speaking.
World peace.
World peace, that's a good one.
Very simple subject.
Yes.
Not complicated at all.
You know, maybe you can apply the principles of world peace, like your own family and friendships.
Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Anything. Yeah, that's what he's got there.
You got to chunk it down a little bit. Make it digestible.
Nice.
Okay, guys, looks like we're all here. Or as they say in AA, we're all here because we're not all there.
What page are we
That's
on
yeah.
here? Huh? What page are we on?
We are on page 24. And if you don't have a book, that's okay because we'll read it out loud anyway.
So here.
Don't worry about it. I know.
Someone took a screen
Oh, do you need glasses?
Yeah, they're in my car.
These are just regular.
You don't mind?
Not at all.
This is great class.
Another pair.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. Take a deep breath. Let us know that we join our hearts and our spirits to all beings who are searching for the truth. We open ourselves up this morning for whatever it is we're supposed to learn.
Think of the Reagan years, and I was a learning reporter and researcher.
To be teachable, to be open, to be gentle. So, next week, if it's all right with you, we're going to do a little bit of a off-the-book exploration on why it seems we are drawn to the negative or the limitation part of things rather than higher consciousness. What's the attraction? What draws us in? And you can think about that for a while, and we'll probably won't come to any complete answers to that question, but it might be interesting to explore anyway. So just kind of keep your mind on that one. We're on page 24. And then do a little bit of overlap to kind of begin where we ended last week. The first full paragraph on page 24, towards the middle of the page. There are aspects of all of you forged in pain, disassociated from your true natures, that require sight, response, and realignment. In other words, we're here to heal. We didn't do that on purpose. We didn't do anything wrong. We just fell asleep for a while. You will say this if you wish. On this day, I choose to allow every aspect of myself that requires sight to be seen in loving ways. Can't say it better than that, to see in loving ways. I give myself permission to see all things so that they may be made new in equivalency, in truth, in high light of the upper room. Upper room meaning higher consciousness. No, being in touch, being in alignment with the divine within you, which is the truth of who you are. All this other stuff, my ego and my personality, are disguises that I might have to learn something from, but they are not who we are. When you agree to this, you support the process you are engaging now. He interrupts this teaching. This is Paul, who is the author of the books. Good morning. For the channel of these books, I should say. And every once in a while, he gets needs a little bit of attention, like most of us. He interrupts the teaching. Will there be a time when we are no longer looking at the old stuff, stuff that doesn't serve us anymore? Will there come a time when I am no longer worried or ashamed or frightened? Good questions. Will there come a time when I am no longer worried or ashamed or frightened? In fact, Paul, it is already here. I think that's the best we can do. Much of what you do is born in your tainted memory. Self-perception as the one who should worry or be afraid continues to claim you because you rely upon it. But what is no longer true is that you are no longer energized by it. It is a passing thing. I will eat this piece of chocolate off the countertop, although I know I should not. In fact, you had no need for the chocolate, but it is there. You ate it again, and you understand, yes? Take a breath with that one. What would it be like to realize that you are already free? That you already are in touch with and aligned with your divine consciousness? And that there's nothing that you have to do except to grow, stretch, and be open to the movement of your heart. And what would it be like to know all of that stuff is already here? You don't have to do anything to get there or to do anything to be there. It's already here. Now we will forget. I'm not sure whether this is true for everybody here, but it seems to be true for me, that this part of the journey involves what I call being awake and falling asleep, being aware, being conscious, being unconscious, and that we are being given tools, like this Sunday morning class, for example. We're given tools that help us to stay awake, to be aware of who we truly are. And of course, when I'm aware of who I truly am, I'm aware of who you truly are as well. And that they're going to be, I can be awake for a while and aware. And then something's going to happen that's going to throw me off. And I'm going to miss or get lost in illusion, what the Course in Miracles calls illusion. And I'm going to lose track of who I am and who you are. And that's going to go on for a while. Could be a minute, could be 5 minutes, could be a day, could be a week. And then something is going to happen that's going to wake me up. Might be a phone call from a friend. It might be a memory. Might be a piece of poetry. Might be a photograph we come across. Might be a book we're reading. Something is going to happen and it's going to go. And I'm going to go, oh, I could have had a V8. I could do that. I could do this differently. I'm awake. Now, this choice we have, this is where the real learning takes place. Choice I have when I wake up again or become aware again of who I am and who you are. I can either beat myself up for falling asleep, or I can be joyful and rejoice in the truth that I woke up again. And I do believe that this is an aspect or a major lesson in our learning right now in our lives. Falling asleep, being awake, being aware, being forgetful. And when we move from one state to the other, especially when we move from forgetting to being awake again or being aware again of our divine truth, that we offer ourselves gratitude, joy, happiness for being awake again. And what I feel is that the length of time, or the might not be measured in time, but the awareness that we have becomes a little bit, the time we spend asleep becomes a little bit less and a little bit less, a little bit less, until I do believe there will be a time when we will be truly awake and truly aware. And truly know and recognize the truth of who we are. That's, I wouldn't say that's our goal, but that's where we're headed towards. There are some people who have reached that goal. One of my favorites is Mother Teresa, who let's suppose we say, here we have somebody called Mother Teresa, but she's not really Mother Teresa. She's really just the Christ in disguise. And her disguise is so flimsy, you can see right through it. Say, oh, well, we'll let you get by calling yourself Mother Teresa, but we know who you really are. And you know who you really are as well. I do believe that there will come a time when we will reach, might be this lifetime, might be another one, when we will reach that higher state of awareness and stay there. Eric, you had a question.
Okay, you made a statement that I thought was a very beautiful statement. It was about, a couple minutes ago, it was about we already are an enlightened being, you know, so we already are fully activated, Christ-like. And we don't have to do anything else. Just have to come to that realization. Well, I'm a lot of different things, but one of the things I am is healing from some childhood trauma. And that involves, in my opinion, work on my part. If I am, and so I think I maybe need to be both. I need to, you know, realize that I'm a child of God and connected to the divine. But if I'm healing, I'm not quite whole where I want to be.
I don't recognize myself as being whole. Let's put it that way.
That's
that help?
Better way of putting it. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, could you say that again for those of us that are
struggling?
Just one more time, please. I'm serious about this.
No, I understand that. I don't perceive myself as being whole yet. I am.
What do you do? Yeah, that's a not top.
Well,
but that's good. I'm going to think about that.
Okay.
But still, I kind of enjoy the process of healing.
And see, I think there, we are speaking of spiritual paradox here. That we are trying to kind of dope it out with our thinking mind, with our intellect. And that's going to make all sorts of reasons, and that's okay. But the real truth of, let's suppose, when I said those words before, that we all know who we are, that comes from right here, my God. And I know that truth. And there's work to be done. So there's both exist at the same time in the same place. I am perfect just the way I am. And there's work to be done.
What if you have no idea who you are? No idea.
That's probably a great place to start.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, you're probably a lot clearer than a lot of other people who think they know who they are. See, most of the people who tell us who we are don't know who they are. We grew up with that. So if I enter into a truth like this and say, I have no idea who I am. That's a great place to start, because you're empty of all other preconceived notions. And when you're empty of all preconceived notions, you can allow the light to shine through. So don't worry that you don't understand with your thinking mind, because you're probably better off not. Okay. Where are we here? Much of what you do is born in your tainted memory. Self-perception is the one who should worry or be afraid. Continues to claim you because you rely upon it. You think it's your truth. It's not, but you think it's your truth. And then we're on page 24. But what is no longer true is that you are no longer energized by it. It's a passing thing. So let's suppose I have a childhood memory, which we all do probably in some respects, that was hurtful or difficult to get through, or maybe I'm still working through it right now. Suppose that's true. I have a choice of working on the healing of that memory or the healing of that incident or circumstance in my life without getting hooked into making it too real, making it too much of a truth. Something happened to me. I'll give you an incident in my life. Maybe this will make some sense. It involves the work we do. I was about 3 or 4 years old, and I was with my mother and father. It was a Sunday morning. We were at church, Catholic church. And we were in the back row for some reason. We usually were close to the back. But we were really close to the back this time. And I'm not sure what was going on, but I was being a typical three-year-old. I was impatient. I was annoyed. I was bored. I wanted to do something different. And I'm not sure whether I was making a racket or making, but anyway, I was annoying my father anyway. He picked me up and started bringing me outside. And I can remember saying to myself, "Oh, good. I'm going outside." And I tried to move a little bit, and I couldn't move. He was holding me really, really tight, and I went, uh-oh. And he, when we got outside, he beat my ass. And for a long time in my life, especially when I started doing adult children work and inner child work and stuff like that, that memory would surface. And I would feel the injustice of it and the hurt and the pain and betrayal of it. And I really worked on that one, and I worked on it, and I worked on it. I let myself feel it, let myself feel the anger, and I worked my way through that. And I can remember distinctly one day when I was doing a similar piece of work, when I touched that memory, and there wasn't any energy behind it anymore. It was something that happened in my life. I wish it hadn't happened. But there was no stuckness around. It wasn't sticky anymore. It was done. Whatever work I needed to do on that particular memory in my life was finished. It was done. It was, as this book says, what is no longer true is that you are no longer energized by it. It was something that happened. I wish it hadn't happened, but it lost all of its energy, lost all of its meaning. It was done. It was a piece of history that was written down. It was done. It was cooked. It was finished. There was no need to do anything more.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah. Hey, Jim.
Hey, man. That's wonderful, because what, you know, I'm, as I was listening to your story, I was just listening to my stories. And what I got from that is that when you think you're not doing the work, you're actually doing the work. And so what happened or happens is that I just truly believe that our consciousness has memory. And so you're doing this inner child work that you were doing. And then, as you said, it became, it no longer juiced you. It was gone. And but that's, you know, again, I guess, I think that's a result of continuing to do the work. Sometimes I think that, well, am I really, am I really resolving this? But then if there's something that comes up that's maybe similar to what I was working through, and it doesn't, like you said, energize me, say, ah, okay, the work was being done, if that makes sense.
Yeah, Laura.
I think what's coming up for me is like showing up here for the years that I've been showing up, that knowing that divine within has grown. And it's not through my thinking head that that has grown. It's whether it's hearing the words here, being with you guys. And I think for me, sometimes by being with that within, some of those things just dissipate without path. I mean, I've worked on myself for years doing what this young man just spoke of, and doing it, they didn't disappear anywhere. And I think for me, it's like that. Divine peace and remembering who I am, really. I mean, it is truly, who am I? I am not this body. I am not this head telling me I can't do this or I'm not enough. I in here, I am plenty. I am loved in here. And it's like, as you go through life, I don't have time to stay in here. I mean, now that I don't have a job, I mean, work, I have more time to stay in here. And I think for me, the trick is to stay in here. And I'd love to hear some conversation around that at some point. Like, really, I mean, to walk every step living in here. And to me, that's that part about, waking up and to be more awake in that kind of way, if that makes sense.
Sure. Laura, you remind me of the idea or the sense that we are learning and growing and healing, even though we might not be conscious of it all the time. It's our dedication and our willingness to the process that is healing and changing and gratifying. Sometimes we don't realize we've learned something or taught something or been let go of something until we are faced, let's say, with a situation or a circumstance that, and we find ourselves reacting and responding to that differently than we might have before. Let's suppose there's a friend, or not necessarily a friend, but let's suppose there's a relative that we can't stand. Not that you would have any of those in your life. Let's suppose there's one or two of those around. And as a matter of fact, as dedicated as you might be to this work of growth and healing, every time you think about that person, you can feel yourself tighten up. And let's say you don't focus on that and say, well, I need to get rid of that one. You know, that's there. We kind of accept that as being part of our lives. And you continue with this work of healing and growing and stretching. And there comes a day when you think about so and so, and there's nothing there. It's like either there's nothing there, or I have the even the slightest inkling of recognizing them as being a divine child of God. And I go, oh. I knew that all along, but it really wasn't part of my life. And I didn't realize it was part of my life until I was faced with that excuse me, faced with that circumstance again, right? And realized that with even without my conscious awareness, I must have grown through that one. You could even apply it to yourself. Let's suppose when I find myself in a state of unforgiveness. There are still some things in my life that I regret, that I wish I had done differently. And many of them still have hooks. If I start thinking about it, I can feel it. Feel kind of a little bit of heartache, a little bit of heartbreak. But there are other ones that, and I have not necessarily done anything consciously with these things, but when I touch the memory again, like I did with my dad, when I touch the memory again, there's no longer energy to that. It's like, wow, I must have learned something about that that I didn't even know I was learning. But there it is. I'm grateful for that. Thank you.
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, Jim.
So I just want to add, just like, so I'm really speaking for myself. I recognize that this work that I do, it isn't a one hit wonder. It's ongoing. As you always said, there's no finish line on the spiritual journey. There's no there. So it's, you know, when something comes up that, oh, doesn't juice me anymore. Well, I mean, I'm sure for me, there's other things. So it's just a continuous commitment, as you indicate, Jerry, to continue just doing this work.
Yeah. Harry Chapin put it beautifully. He said, there's no straight lines make up my life, and all my roads have bends. There's no clear-cut beginnings, and so far no dead ends. Page 25. Now, many of you say, can this happen in my lifetime? Can I be free? Can I be healed? Can I be whatever words you want to use then? We will give you the same answer. It is happening now. It is happening now. It is always now. This lifetime is an idea, a sequence of exchanges known through time, or your idea of time, under a label of a personality that was educated, perhaps reared in love or anger, it matters not. What you learned is what you learned, but who you are expresses well beyond this lifetime and always will. In other words, friends, it is now, it is now, it is now. And presence and being is the expression of now, at whatever level and amplitude you are choosing to learn by and through. I'm going to take that paragraph and read it very slowly. And let's see if we can take it in as best you can. This is not understanding it with your head. It's opening your heart to this truth. Many of you will say, can this happen in my lifetime? Can I be free? Can I be healed? Can I be whole? Can I recognize myself as being whole, as being free? We will give you the same answer. Instead of waiting for a lifetime to be finished or another lifetime to start, recognizing it is happening now. It is always now. It can never be not now. This lifetime is an idea, a sequence of exchanges known through time, or your idea of time, under a label of a personality that was educated, perhaps, reared in love or anger, it matters not. What you learned is what you learned, but who you are, here's the key. What you learned is what you learned. What you healed is what you healed. What you become, you become. What you learned is what you learned, but who you are expresses well beyond this lifetime and always will. Who you are. Expresses well beyond this lifetime and always will. In other words, friends, it is now, it is now, it is now. And presence and being is the expression of now at whatever level of amplitude you are choosing to learn through and by. The important thing is I am choosing to heal. How I'm choosing to heal, I might not know them. I might not know the method that my soul invents to be able to do that process. In fact, in some ways, it's none of my business. What is important is that I open myself up to that truth. Every moment that I can be aware enough to do that. It is now, it is now, it is now. What does that mean by? You learn through your experiences and you learn by your choices. What you choose creates experience, which becomes your instruction. Wow. We could underline that, circle that, highlight that one for about another 15 years, another 50 lifetimes. What you choose creates experience. What you choose creates experience, which becomes your instruction. In other words, I know we've said this a number of times, a number of ways. I have chosen this particular circumstance in my life to learn from. I chose it before I was born. What you choose creates experience, which becomes your instruction. When the motives of one have aligned to the higher, you learn in higher ways. When you perpetuate the old idea of self, who demands to be seen as the only one, the highest or the lowest of all, in other words, my ego, my personality, you claim the old again and again and again. Your liberation is here, and for one reason. You have said yes, and this great yes, this wonderful yes, will claim you on a path that will carry you forward with the escort to the kingdom of you as your experience. You have said yes, this great yes, this wonderful yes, will claim you on a path that will carry you forward on eagle's wings. Carry you forward. You're not moving forward yourself. You're being carried forward. You are being carried forward by and with your divine self. Carry you forward with escort to the kingdom as your experience. In other words, even my perception of my experience is going to be different. So instead of looking at this as the most horrible thing in my life, I see it as sometimes the most profound blessing. I guess the simplest one I can think of there is, my addiction to alcohol and drugs. When I finally got to the close point of surrender, I thought that was the worst thing that could ever happen to me in my life. The most horrible thing that, why would I ever choose that? And yet looking back over the number of days, number of hours, number of minutes, number of years, I see it as one of the most profound blessings in my life. Interesting. Same event, same circumstance. Different perception. We're getting a little bit early. This morning I've got altar duty in the other room. So we're going to take a minute to just relax. And close your eyes, take a couple of deep breaths. I just had one of those chuckles, cosmic chuckle. where I realize whatever it is that I'm holding on to, I don't need to hold on to anymore. Get in touch with the rhythm of your breathing, the beating of your heart. And allow the words of this prayer to sink into your reality in a way that you will never forget. I am whole. I am filled with light. I am perfect. I am filled with light. I am surrounded by the pure white light of Christ. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall come through me. Nothing but good shall come to me. Nothing but good shall flow from me. I give thanks. I give thanks. I give thanks. Deep breath. I have a body, but I am not my body. I have feelings, I have emotions, but I am not my feelings, I am not my emotions. I have a mind and I have thoughts. And yet I am not my mind, I am not my thoughts. I am more than my body. I am more than my emotions. I am more than my mind. I am a unique expression of divine consciousness. Another deep breath. Stretch a bit. You can open your eyes when you're ready.
Thank you, Jerry. Very thought-provoking.
Thank you, guys. Have a great
Thank
week.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank
Peace
you.
Thank you, guys.
Have a blessed week.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm ready to make my pressure.